Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Let's read the scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may be able, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let me read that again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I want to do something a little unorthodox this morning for the sermon to start us off. So bear with me. This could go many different ways, but we're going to give it a shot, all right?
Hello.
Hey, Pop.
What's up?
How you doing? How you doing?
What's going on here? You should be at church, aren't you?
Well, technically I am, yes. I'm actually on the platform right now preaching, but you actually helped my illustration because I was going to call and say, man, if he doesn't answer, he's in trouble. I just wanted to call Pop real quick, tell you I love you, and I'll see you this coming weekend, all right?
All right, sounds good. I love you.
Love you, Pop.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I didn't tell him I was going to do that. It's really nice to know that I can call my dad most within reason, and he'll answer. And the truth is, if he hadn't answered, I had something to go off that. Because the truth is, sometimes we do need to get a hold of someone and call somebody, and they don't pick up the phone. They don't answer. We have to leave a voicemail. We're trying to get a hold of somebody. As children of God, it is beyond a blessing to know that we can call on God. We, at any time, in any place, to our Heavenly Father, and He always hears, and He always listens. I believe in prayer. Prayer is one of those things that every single one of us, I have no doubt, has struggled at some point in our life. Maybe right now your prayer life is struggling. It seems like such a simple aspect of the Christian life, but prayer is more than a spiritual discipline. It's more than just a spiritual habit, a religious habit that we start in our lives and keep up. It's more than just liturgy. It's more than all those things. Prayer is a lifeline. It's a lifeline. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us that we can come to the throne of God, to the throne of grace, with confidence. We can come boldly before God, not in fear, not with hesitation, but with confidence, knowing that we will find mercy, those new morning mercies. We will find grace for our time of need. And that's why today, like every other message we've had, I want to declare that I believe in prayer. And when you leave this church this morning after the sermon is over, I hope, I pray, my desire is that you'll walk out these two doors, you'll go back into regular life this week with a heart that says, I believe in prayer. I may not pray as much as I want to, but I believe that prayer works. I believe that God is listening to me. So we're going to jump right in this morning to each point. 3 points today. Some scriptures, some thoughts that I want to help you in regards to prayer. Number one, we need to pray to prepare. Pray to prepare. The truth of the matter is, sometimes we don't know what's coming in life. Honestly, I've heard a quote that said, life is what happens when you have something else planned. You make plans for life and something goes awry. But sometimes we do know things are on the horizon. Sometimes in life, we know that something's coming up that could have a potential to affect our lives or our families or our jobs or whatever, or our children in a major way. Jesus, before he chose his 12 disciples, the scriptures say that he prayed. Luke 6:12, the scripture should be on the screen, says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Jesus, the Son of God, prayed before making a major decision of who to call to be his disciples. And how much more should we? How much more should we? Maybe for you it's a job interview, or it's a tough conversation with someone in your life, a family member or a friend. Maybe it's just a big change coming up or a new season of life. We must pray to prepare. If I decided every Sunday at 9:50 to begin making preparations for that Sunday service, it would probably be a hot mess. No, I have to spend time all week long. And even when we start a new year, I have to spend time in the year before figuring out what our theme's going to be and things like that. Preparation's important. And in your life, some of you are coming up to some pretty big stuff. And you need to pray to prepare. Are you facing a big decision in your life? Don't just plan. Oh, we're planners. Some of us are so good at planning. We have everything lined out. We plan, but we don't pray. We don't pray. Preparation through prayer, seeking the face of God, seeking the wisdom of God. Preparation through prayer is spiritual armor. It aligns our heart with God's will. And it opens the door in our lives, in our spiritual lives, for wisdom, for peace, and for guidance, divine guidance. We must pray to prepare. Could you imagine what God could do if on Monday morning, or someday on Monday, you said, "Lord, Sunday's only 6 days away. I ask you to bless our pastor. I ask you to give him the message to preach. Lord, I ask you to just bless our service on Sunday." And then Tuesday rolls around and you say, "God, 5 days away, church is on the horizon, it's coming up. God, there's people that are on the fence about attending, about coming to visit. Help them, God, to soften their heart. Help them to come this coming Sunday." And then Wednesday comes, here, "Lord, we're getting closer. We're halfway through the week. Church is coming. Your day is coming. God, begin to prepare my heart. It's been a tough week, God, but please speak to my heart on Sunday." And then Thursday, "Oh my goodness, we're almost to the weekend, Lord. Please give Pastor Donald wisdom as he prepares for the service. Bless the worship team as they're going to be singing and leading us. Help me to worship in spirit and in truth." And then Friday comes. Say, "Lord, people are finished with their work week. They might have plans. Help them to make Sunday a priority and be there in their house. Help me, God, to be there." And then Saturday, "Lord, tomorrow's the day. Church is tomorrow. Please help everything to go smoothly. Bring us visitors. Bring us guests. God, do a work that only you can do." And Sunday morning rolls around and say, "God, bless today." And you prayed all week long for God to bless. Don't you think you'll have a better Sunday? Hey, don't you think I'll have a better Sunday if you're praying for me like that? My goodness, I would love that. We need to pray to prepare. Some of you have something coming up in your life. I know for a fact, because I know we've talked. Some of you have some really big things coming up in life. You know the details. I would never share them. But because of these big things, what are you doing? What are you doing prayer-wise to prepare yourself for these big moments, for these gigantic, life-altering, potentially life-altering moments? Are you spending time on your knees seeking the face of God? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Listen, you say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know? How do you know that prayer changes things? How do you know that if I pray and seek the face of God, that things could change?" Because I've just seen too much. I've seen God answer prayers way too many times to think anything other than the fact that I believe in prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer goes against the norm. It goes against our logic. Prayer. You got something coming up. We need to pray to prepare. I could talk about, let's say, 2025? Let's go back 7 years. Let's go back seven and a half years as I stood by the bunk beds of my little boys who were just toddlers at the time. I knew God was leading us to Cape Cod to plant a church. We're sitting in the little parsonage there in Jackson, Michigan. I don't have a name for the church yet. I don't know anybody here besides my family. But me and little Donald, who was only, my goodness, if that was 7, 8 years ago, he was only six, seven years old. And we said, "God, I ask you to bless our church on the Cape that we're going to start sooner or later. God, I ask you to bless those people there right now. Some of you 7 years ago were still in the same place you're in now, same job, same house. And our little family were praying for you. God, bless them. Whatever they're facing right now, God, lead them to our church. God, we're going to need a building. We're going to need a house. We're going to need this. Lord, bless those people that one day are going to attend our church. We didn't have a name yet for the church. But you know what we were doing? We were praying in preparation, asking God to bless before that day came. We need to pray to prepare. And by the way, can we just see that God answered the prayers of that little 7-year-old boy in Jackson, Michigan, my son, praying for you because you're here today. God brought you here. We need to pray to prepare. What else? So we need to pray with confidence. We need to pray with confidence. Number two, Hebrews 4:16 tells us to come boldly, not timidly or reluctantly and kind of nervous. No. We need to pray with confidence. Why can we pray with confidence? Because the scriptures say in verse number 16, we did read of Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. But in verse number 14 of Hebrews 4, and that this one's not on the screen now. I'm going to read it, but I'll let you know. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Why can we come boldly to the throne of God? Why can we come boldly to the throne of grace? Because Jesus is our high priest who understands our weaknesses and he intercedes for us on our behalf. He goes to the Father on our behalf. We can pray with boldness. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Prayer is not just a shot in the dark. It's communication with a God who hears and cares. For some of us, we don't pray with confidence, not because we don't believe that God can do it. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt unworthy to pray? I know the answer is yes to a lot of us. And by the way, the answer is yes for me too. Like God wouldn't listen. I've just done too much. Why would God care about me? Why would God listen to me? I've been a terrible son. I have been a terrible Christian. I just lived too wickedly before I gave my heart to Christ. Why would God, listen, we feel unworthy to pray. Church, let me remind you, the cross of Jesus Christ, him dying on the cross, if you look at the New Testament and you see that when he gave up the ghost and died on that cross, that the veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies where the priest met with God and separated this big curtain, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from common man society, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent. It was torn from the top to the bottom in two. And what was that a symbol of? It was a symbol of Jesus' death on the cross, shedding his blood for the sins of the world, giving his life for us. That represented, that tear in the veil that opened up, represented our access to God the Father. Your confidence doesn't come from your record. No, we can pray in confidence because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have a way to the Father now because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It comes from his grace. We need to pray with confidence. And for many of us, it's hard to pray with confidence. Why is it so hard to pray with confidence, to pray boldly? Because praying in faith, praying boldly, goes against what are we doing? Oftentimes, when we pray with bold, we're praying for the impossible, and praying for the impossible and praying for big things to happen in our lives goes against normal human instinct, because we're talking about praying for something that shouldn't happen because it just doesn't make sense. We're praying for miracles oftentimes. God, you've got to open this door. God, you've got to provide for this need. God, you've got to do this or that. Something that why are we praying? Because we need an answer. Because everything else happening without prayer, us trying to figure it out on our own is not working at all. So now we're going to God, which we should go to Him first, but often we go to Him. We're praying for something huge. We're praying for something miraculous to happen. And that goes against human logic. So for many of us, it's hard to pray with confidence. It's hard to pray boldly because in our human minds, in our feeble human minds, we know what I'm praying for seems impossible. What I'm praying for doesn't seem like it would make sense. I've shared testimony after testimony about God providing us with a place to live. I won't belabor the story and tell it 100 times again, but prayer goes again. When we're praying for something that seems out of reach, we have to pray with confidence. But often we say, Lord, I really need this, and I know it doesn't, and we wonder if it could actually happen. Without really saying it, we sometimes doubt God because it goes against what we think is going to happen. That life's just going to happen. But God can do the impossible. God, and I've seen it happen. Yeah, sure, with the houses, we stood there in August of 2018, I was still traveling with my family over the country, trying to get support. We hadn't moved here yet. And the reason we hadn't moved here yet is because we didn't have a place to live. And just 2-3 weeks before we were supposed to be out here on the Cape, we still didn't have a place. And I would get up in pulpits all across the country and say, man, God's going to give us a house, and I can't wait to see what He does. But there was part of me that was struggling with that faith. I'm like, well, He hasn't done it yet. We've been looking. We've been searching. We've been doing all our homework, and we still can't find a place to live in the Cape. And we prayed, and my wife prayed, and we prayed together. And God, just 2 weeks before we moved to the Cape, provided a beautiful house right in West Yarmouth where we ended up starting the church those early days. God did it. And let's talk about praying with confidence. I struggled praying with confidence, but my dear, precious wife, here, move over. I'm going to sit with you for a minute. Okay? Do you remember what you prayed for? I put my arm around it too. Do you remember what you prayed for in the house?
Yeah, for the in-law apartment.
Yes. She said, I'm praying like, Lord, help us to find something. I guess I can live with my in-laws if I have to, but God, please, please don't. You know, and I said, Lord, just give us a place. And she's praying like, Lord, I know You're going to give us somewhere. And God, she started praying bigger prayers. She said, God, would You give us a house with an in-law apartment attached to it so that we can be a blessing to other you know, because we knew the life of ministry and pastoring, and it was stressful. So if we have an in-law apartment attached to our house, we could host pastors from different parts, our friends that need a break, that need somewhere to breathe, and they can come and stay for free, and then they can go to the beach. And I'm like thinking, like, man, don't pray too much. Don't pray too hard. This is we're just trying to find something to live. I'll take an apartment at this point. And guess what God did? My goodness. And it wasn't like, oh, we saw it on Facebook Marketplace. No, it was through this amazing circumstance with my mother-in-law and the lady she took care of and her other nurse and this and that, and someone found out about a house in West Yarmouth that had an in-law apartment. And I looked at her and said, man, you must be real close to the Lord. But she prayed with confidence. She prayed boldly. She prayed big prayers. It wasn't a couple of years later, again, when we were trying to find a place. By the way, if you need help finding a house, just ask us to pray for you. Because we've done it like 4 times, and God's done it every time. So if you need to pray, we'll pray for you, because we've done it a couple times now. But another time we're praying, I mentioned this like 2 weeks ago, but there was a house for sale, for rent. But there was someone else that was supposed to take it first, and they were just waiting on down payments, or on first and last, the security deposit, all that jazz. And my wife, again, in confidence, said, Lord, help them to just back out of the deal. Help them to go buy their own house. They don't need 4 bedrooms. It's just 2 of them. They don't need that. And I'm thinking, man, she's, again, praying boldly. And guess what happened 2 days later? The landlord says, hey, they backed out. They're going to buy. And I'm telling you, if you need somebody to pray for something, talk to my wife, man. She knows God real well. But she prayed with confidence. Prayer goes against human logic. For us to find a house, not just once, not just twice, but 3 times, when we were at the end of our rope, it required us to pray with confidence. God, You're going to take care of me. God, I believe You're going to take care of me. Often it was those prayers like that man in the New Testament whose son was needed healing, and he talked to Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief." That's often how I pray. "Lord, I believe you can do it, but God, any part of me that's doubting, help me." We must pray with confidence. Some of you would do well to go home today, and when the day starts to slow down, to get on your knees and say, "God, you know I've been praying, but God, I'm going to pray with confidence now. I'm not going to pray, Lord, if you want. Say, Lord, I believe you can do this, and I'm asking you to do it, and I believe that you will." Whatever it is that you're praying for, whether it's healing or housing or a job situation or family or your children or your parents or whatever, God, I'm giving you, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm coming boldly, God. Pray with confidence. And last thing is this, pray about everything. Pray about everything. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too complicated for God. You see, this is a, like, really simple message, very practical, Pastor. Like, this is, you know what's funny is sometimes the most practical things are the things that we struggle with the most. Prayer is not this deep, it's talking to God. And even though it's simple, like in theory, we don't do it. Or we have little parts of our week that we pray, like when we get to church and then pastor finishes the sermon and he has us bow our heads and tells us to pray, and then I pray for this during the message. But then the rest of the week, Monday through Saturday, our prayer lives are soon forgotten when we leave Coastline Baptist Church. Something so simple, and isn't it funny that the most simple of things, it seems, are the things that we struggle with, the things that the enemy will distract you time and time again. He will busy your life up. He will do everything in his power. He'll make you miss that alarm. He'll make this and that on your way to work. Normally you'd pray, but suddenly you're in traffic or someone cuts you off and your spirit's shook up a little bit, and suddenly you're not. He'll do anything he can to get you to not pray. And we fall for those traps and tricks every single time. Pray about everything. Philippians 4:6 says this: "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God invites us to bring everything to Him. Everything to Him. Our stress, our desires, our burdens to Him in prayer. The little things and the big things. Oh, it's pretty easy to pray for the big things. Obviously, when we're facing a massive challenge or situation or trial, praise God, some of our first instinct is to go to God. God, I need you right now. But how about the little things? How about the little things that we just try to figure out by ourselves? That annoying coworker, that family issue. For me, I'll tell you, I pray, I lose my keys and I pray. I lose my phone. My son loses his phone, which happens a lot, and I pray. And you say, that's kind of weird. No. Every little thing. I want to make my life just surrounded by prayer. And I'll tell you this much. There's something really great when I can't find my wallet and I need to leave. I say, "Lord, please. Lord, just leave me in the right spot. Please, God, I need this wallet. Hope it hasn't been thrown away in the garbage by somebody, but help me just to find it." And then 3 minutes later, find it, and I say, "Lord, thank you." Could I have maybe found that on my own without praying? I don't know, maybe. But it is nice for me to believe that God is looking out for me, even in those tiny things, even in those small things. My son loses his phone, and I don't like sending my son to school, my oldest, without his phone, so he can contact if he needs or whatever. And I'm sometimes, you know, he's only 13, he'll lose his phone. And when it dies, you can't ring it, you can't ping it. It's somewhere in the caverns of his room or the house, and we'll tear the place apart and I'll start to get annoyed. And then when I start to get annoyed, I say, "Lord, help me to calm down. It was an accident. God, help us to find that phone." And I'll tell you, sometimes it's within seconds. Literally 30 seconds, and I'll move a pillow, or sometimes I'll go out to the yard for something, and I'll see it on the picnic table that he was jumping on the trampoline, took it out of his pocket, and I'll say, and the first thing, because I've already prayed, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And all that's doing is in little steps, it's increasing my faith. It's showing me, it's showing me that God is watching. Now, yes, I could talk about, and I've already done it a bunch of times, all the big things that God's done. Our housing, certain bills that need to be paid, God providing miraculous things for us when we needed them. The fact that my son Seth, who's getting older and older now, there was a couple years back, we're thinking he's just going to be like a toddler the rest of his life, but he quit on the pacifiers. He's almost fully potty trained. That's a miraculous answer to prayer for a young man with severe autism. But I believe that that's God. The fact that some of you are here today, that's based on prayer. God, bring us people. God, change the lives of your people. God, bring souls to Coastline. And God has done it. We must be praying about everything. Do you only pray when things get really bad? That's sometimes just the commonality that we all share is when things get bad, of course we pray. But how about when things are okay? Try talking to God about everything. Try talking about everything, your frustrations, your joys, your doubts, everything. Tell God what you have for breakfast. I don't care. Pray about everything. Listen to this. A daily, honest conversation with God will deepen your relationship with Him. Hear that, because everybody, a daily, honest conversation with God will deepen your relationship with Him. The Christian prayer life, like I've already said, is probably one of the most, in my opinion, for me personally, I'll say, is one of the most challenging aspects of being a disciple of Christ. It requires time. It requires discipline. And we live busy lives. My prayer life, I feel like sometimes it's a roller coaster. I wish I could tell you that that Pastor Donald, but my prayer life is always just a mountaintop experience where, man, but it's not, because seasons of life are different. I could go back to when I was in Bible college as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid, and I wanted so badly to know God. I wanted so badly to hear from Him. In that little tiny Bible college in San Jose, California, just a small property right there in the center of the Silicon Valley. A couple buildings, a couple dorms, academic building, small little place. And around the property, they had a drive, like you could kind of circle the building on this road. You know, just again, it's all really tight, but kind of a one-way thing. And I can go back in my mind. Sometimes it was early in the morning. Sometimes it was in the evening when people were at work and I was not. And I would walk the perimeter of that property, and I would just talk to God. There's a lot of dumb stuff I did at college, at Bible college. A lot of time wasted at Bible college, but those walks that I had with the Lord as a young man trying to figure out what God wanted from me, and I wouldn't trade those for the world. And I'd be all alone. I mean, so it wasn't like I was doing it for show because there was no one there. And oftentimes, like the scriptures say, come before His presence with singing. And into His courts with praise. Sometimes quietly I would sing to Him. I'd sing, there's an old hymn, oh, how I love Jesus. And I'd sing, oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. And I'd sing, your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You are the mighty King. You're the master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You're the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God, are you? I bow down before you. I love and adore you. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. And I would talk to Him and I'd say, God, help me to find your will. God, use me. I don't know what you want from me, God. And me and Marissa, Lord bless Marissa. Lord, help me, God, to have your eyes. Help me to see people as you see them. God, help me to have your mouth and only speak truth and have the words that you have and speak your word. God, help me to have your ears and hear the cry of the world crying out for help. And God, help me, Lord, to have your feet and to go only where you want me to go. And I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd walk around and just pray and just try to hear from God. Try to get to know God. Sometimes I'd go to my room and I had heard a preacher say this once, and I would take a chair. I would take a chair and just sit it in the middle of the room, my little small dorm room when I was back in Holyoke, back when no one, everybody else was gone. It was just me, and I'd set a chair there, and I would just, in my heart's eye, just imagine that God was sitting there, and I would often just walk and talk, say, Lord, like he was sitting right there. I said, God, I don't know what to do about this situation. God, I annoyed Marissa again. What am I going to do? Help me not to be such an idiot. And I'd say, Lord, and I would just pray and just talk to God. Just try to get to know him. And then life happens, doesn't it? We get busy. I'll tell you this, church. This past summer, I went away to a church meeting, and God really smote my heart about my prayer life. And I was challenged to begin having a deeper prayer life. And for 40 days, I prayed for an hour a day. I never thought I could do it. I was like, man, that's impossible. He mentioned it. I said, I could never do that. And I just said, I'm going to just try it. And I got up early during the summer. The kids are home from school. No one's getting up early. And I put my phone, I started it, and I had a little prayer list. And I would pray for every single one of you by name and say, God, would you bless them? Would you bless your family? I'd pray for your children. And I say, God. And then I would pray for my wife and my children and my job and the church and this and other things. And I would spend time praising him and thanking him. I'd go through every letter of the alphabet. Lord, you're amazing. Lord, you're beautiful. Lord, and I'd go through all the letters of the alphabet, just talking to him. And it became this beautiful spiritual discipline in my life that I began to see God do great things. And for 40 days, some days it was an hour and a half, some days it was even 2 hours. We went to Disney World as a family, and I said, oh, this is the perfect time to kind of quit on this. I said, no, I'm doing it. And every night in the hotel, the kid would go to bed, and I'd sit in the bathroom on the floor with my prayer list, and I'd pray for an hour, say, wow, Pat, I'm not doing that to pat myself back. What I'm saying is, school started, work got busy, and that beautiful spiritual discipline that I had started for 40 days suddenly began to wane off. And I normally could get up at 6 in the morning and spend, and the kids wouldn't be up till 8 o'clock. So I'd get my coffee. And now the kids, they have to be up at 6 o'clock. They have to get ready for school. I have to drive them to school. And then I get home, and I have to go to work. And then suddenly, Seth's bus is here, and I got to get him on the bus. And then we got to bring Brady to school. And then I got to start work. I work a full-time job. And then I work this full-time job. And then I have to go leave around 2 to get the kids back from school. And then I bring them home. Marissa leaves for work, 3 to midnight. And then I'm getting home with the boys at 4:15, getting back to work for a few hours. And then I got to make dinner. And I got to do laundry. And I got to clean the house. And then suddenly, it's 11 o'clock. She's getting ready to come home. I'm finishing up the night. And suddenly, she's calling me on the way home talking. And it's midnight, and we're going back to bed to do it all again the next day. And life gets busy, and the prayer life starts to falter a little bit. What I'm saying all that to say, prayer is challenging sometimes. You will face challenges when it comes to your prayer life, but we must be people of prayer. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship. It's not a ritual. It's not liturgy. It's a relationship that we have to fight for. We have to fight for it. It's not just going to happen. We have to fight for it. In church, as I prepared this sermon, I begin to think about my prayer life and how it's gone kind of like this. Some days will be better. What I've been trying to do is on the way back from bringing the kids to school, that 30 minutes, I say, well, this is the time I got to pray. And that can be challenging sometimes too. But I know in my life that I have to be a man of prayer. Not just because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a man. I need to be a man of prayer. And in your life, be honest about your prayer life right now. Be honest with yourself. Be real about it. Some of us are so stressed out about life, wondering when the answer is going to come, and the truth of the matter is, we're just not praying. So of course we have no peace. Of course we're anxious. Of course we're stressed. Of course the future seems bleak because we're not praying. We're not seeking the face of God for his wisdom and his peace. The scriptures say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to give you peace. God wants to hear from you. I believe in prayer. But I'll say this, I need to believe in prayer a little bit more. Because if I truly believed in prayer, I'd probably pray more. If I truly believed that prayer could change this town, could bring revival to this church and to your families, I'd probably pray a little bit more, and so would you. Prayer prepares me. Prayer gives me confidence. Prayer covers everything I face. So today, my brother and sister in Christ, no matter where you are, no matter where you are, come boldly. God's throne is open because of what Jesus did on the cross. God's throne is open and grace is waiting. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.